Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Text 49.
Na-ya-ta
prasadayuta
prasadayuta
bhaga
lesha lesha
anye
anye
sha
deva
deva gurava jana
jana
swaya
swaya
karto
kartu
sameta
sameta
Prabhavanti Pumsa Ta
Ishvara
Twa Sharana Prapadye Nayat Prasadayuta Bhagalesham Anye cha deva guru vajana swaya
Anye cha deva guru vajana swaya
Kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsa
Kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsa
Tamishvaram tvam sharanam prapadye
Tamishvaram tvam sharanam prapadye
Nayat prasadayuta bhagalesha
Nayat prasadayuta bhagalesha
Anye cha deva guru vajana swaya
Anye cha deva guru vajana swaya
Kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsa
Kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsa
Tamishvaram tvam sharanam prapadye
Tamishvaram tvam sharanam prapadye
Nayat prasadayuta bhagalesham
Nayat prasadayuta bhagalesham
Anye cha deva guru vajana swaya
Anye cha deva guru vajana swaya
Kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsa
Kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsa
Tamishvaram tvam sharanam prapadye
Tamishvaram tvam sharanam prapadye
Nayat prasadayuta
Yat prasada of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ayuta bhagalesham.
Only 1/10,000.
Anye
others
cha also deva
even the demigods
gurava
the so-called gurus
jana
the total population
swayam
personally
karto
to execute
sameta
altogether
prabhavanti
can become equally able
Pumsa,
by the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Tam,
unto Him,
Ishvaram,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Twam, unto you, Shalom, shelter, Prapadye,
let me surrender.
Translation. Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000th of yours. Therefore I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Kamaistaistaya Hritagyana Prapadyantena Devata, people in general, being motivated by material desires, worship the demigods to get fruitive results very quickly. People generally do not become devotees of Lord Vishnu, since Lord Vishnu never becomes the order supplier of his devotee. Lord Vishnu does not give a devotee benedictions that will create a further demand for benedictions. By worshipping the demigods, one may get results, but, as described in Bhagavad Gita, antavat tupalam te sham tadbhavat yalpa medasam. Whatever great benedictions one may achieve from the demigods are all temporary. Because the demigods themselves are temporary, their benedictions are also temporary and have no permanent value. Those who aspire for such benedictions have a poor fund of knowledge. Tadbhavat yalpa medasam. The benedictions of Lord Vishnu are different. By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, one can be completely freed from material contamination and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the benedictions offered by the demigods cannot compare to even 1/10,000th of the Lord's benedictions. One should not, therefore, try to obtain benedictions from the demigods or false gurus. One should aspire only for the benedictions offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami mashuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the greatest benediction. Nayat prasadayuta bhagalesham anyechadeva guruvo janaswayam kartum sameta prabhavanti pumsas tam ishvaram tvam sharanam prabhadye. Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000th of yours. Therefore I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. Nama Om Vishnavadai Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bastyachyade Jitane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkalpataribhyas Jagripas Sindhu Bhyevacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, here Maharaj Satyavrata is praying for mercy, actually, from Lord Matsya. from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's making this extremely important point that no one can offer mercy like the Lord. In this world, there may be many people, nice people, pious people, kind people, who can offer some sort of mercy, but not like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not at all like. And of course, when we say the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we mean him in all his different forms, so many different expansions, incarnations, partial forms, even parts of parts. And actually, we also mean the devotees. The devotees can give mercy by the mercy of Krishna. So this sort of prayer can also be offered to the devotees. Of course, particularly very great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, like that. But in one sense, to all the devotees, at least those who are trying sincerely to practice and progress in Krishna consciousness. But others, it's a waste of time. And in many cases, not only is it a waste of time, but actually you're being cheated very badly at the same time. We were at a program the other evening in Napier, out there in the countryside, different environment from here in Cape Town. And there was like this 30, 40 people, and they were really nice. And they were quite interested and seemed fairly open-minded. So anyway, at the end of the program, we were talking with different of them and some chatting and conversation and just further discussion based on what we had said in the class. And one lady went to Jyoti Prabhu and said, you know, I've been chanting a Buddhist mantra for the last 25 years. I think at least we can check with Jyoti if he knows. As far as I can recall, the idea was every day. And, you know, a certain amount. But the person said, you know, even though I've been doing this 25 years, I don't feel I've got anything from it. So I don't know what mantra she was chanting, but, you know, in general, the practice of Buddhism has no real inherent spiritual value at all. If anything, it has some indirect benefit, maybe, in that it encourages detachment from this world, which, at least in a certain context, well, particularly in the context of Krishna consciousness, that's helpful, that's good, that's nice. To be too materially attached is a big obstacle in Krishna consciousness. So anyways, this is what she said. And Jyoti told her, well, why don't you chant our mantra? We had already had some kirtan earlier, been talking a bit about these things. And he told her the mantra, and she said, yes, I'm going to try that. And many people in our experience, we give them the mantra, teach them the mantra, and they chant it even just once. And they get some, like, you know, some inspiration from just chanting the mantra one time. In many cases, it happens like this. But this lady, 25 years, busy going nowhere in her, you know, spiritual practice, because Buddhism is not spiritual. So this is, you know, the same sort of point, that there may be people who can offer some mercy of some sort, but not like Krishna, not like the Supreme Lord or his devotees, particularly the very advanced devotees. And therefore we pray to the devotees. We pray for the mercy of the devotees, and particularly the mercy of the spiritual master, but all the devotees also. Because we understand that by Krishna's mercy they can give real mercy. And even if somehow it's not really possible now, but in a more Vedic social environment, going back, you know, really going back, even though some people did worship the demigods and pray to certain demigods to get certain material things, but even if they got just what they wanted, and as a result they thought, oh, got the mercy, very nice. But whatever mercy they got, even if they got all the mercy they were looking for, as King Satyavrata says, it doesn't equal 1/10,000th of your mercy. And actually says that any of these people, the demigods, the so-called gurus, and whoever else people might pray to who are not devotees, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals 1/10,000th of the Lord's. So, yeah, well, it's a very important point, isn't it? Interesting point. Even all of them independently, but even all of them together. If you put all their capacity, even the demigods who can give mercy of a certain type, put all of them together, and all the mercy that all ordinary people, all the demigods, all the bogus gurus, all the mercy that all these people could all give together, at best, it doesn't equal 1/10,000th of the mercy the Lord can give. It doesn't equal 1/10,000th, because the Lord's mercy is unlimited. And you cannot make a fraction of unlimited, as you probably know. You know, 1/10th of infinity is infinity. 10 times infinity is infinity. It doesn't really make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It's not finite. It's just unlimited. And that is the Lord's mercy. Well, certainly that is his capacity to give mercy. Yes, so, and when the devotees approach him very prayerfully, in really appropriate ways, very nicely, then the Lord always gives the best mercy. Means the most suitable mercy. Means even sometimes you may pray, Krishna, please give me something, and you may not get anything. But that was the best mercy for you. under those circumstances, because probably it would indicate that you were praying for some nonsense thing, undesirable thing, which won't actually help you in your Krishna consciousness. There's a saying in Russia, little Russian culture for you: I am not so rich that I can afford a cheap car. Russian witticism. I am not so rich that I can afford a cheap car. The idea being that if you get a cheap car, it's going to be breaking down all the time, and it'll cost you a lot to keep it going, and sometimes it won't go and you'll be inconvenienced and you'll miss out on some opportunity because you couldn't be there, or something along those lines. Sri Shinitai Mai Bochandra Ki Jai. So sometimes our devotees in Russia, Russia's a place where, other than the Moscow, other than that main area, Moscow central, not central, but the main Moscow area, everything is spread out. It's really spread out. And, you know, the next town's 100 kilometers away. This is just normal, completely normal. And 200, 300. This is not unusual at all. So, sometimes, and the devotees go out distributing books. And sometimes they go out traveling from town to town. And sometimes the devotees say jokingly that, you know, if we get a cheap car to go on traveling Sankirtan, we may break down in the middle, literally, of nowhere. And we may be stuck, because sometimes you may not see another car for a good period of time. And then they may not stop also. So, sometimes they jokingly say, we must get a very good car. For our traveling center, we need Mercedes Benz, so we will not break down. We'll be successful in our mission distributing Prabhupada's books. But it's a joke, because normally they end up getting one of the old local cars, which you've never heard of before, out of there. You know, probably you haven't heard of them for good reason, because they're a strictly Russian phenomenon. Yeah. So, but they accept it, because that's the mercy of the Lord. We were praying for a Mercedes. He gave an old local car. Okay, Hare Krishna. But devotee has that mood, that if Krishna, we prayed, and if this is what Krishna gave in response to our prayers, it's the best thing. Let's just accept it and carry on happily in his service. Yes. So the demigods particularly, you know, the so-called gurus, they cannot really give you anything, because it's all just, it's basically lies. The whole thing is lies. Everything. They are lies. Their so-called spiritual advancement is lies. What they speak is lies. And if they offer a benediction, it's lies. They have no capacity. They're just, they're as lost in the material world as anybody else, and possibly more lost. So, but the demigods, they can give something, and they do. They do. Of course, not in the Kali Yuga generally. The other night we were talking about Keshava Kashmiri. He had a personal connection with Saraswati, the goddess of learning. But this is extremely uncommon. Somehow he was some special person. But otherwise, Prabhupada made a number of points that in previous yugas, when people would actually worship the demigods properly, then they would know, they would perform some sacrifice, something, and they would know if the demigod was pleased and was satisfied and was going to give them whatever it was, because at the end of the sacrifice, the demigod would appear physically right in front of them and accept the offerings. And then they would know, yes, it's a success. But Prabhupada made the point that in Kali Yuga, everything is so pathetically degraded, and even all the attempts for demigod worship are so useless, and they just don't have the potency. The people don't have the qualification at all. So Prabhupada said that the demigods would not even come to planet Earth, even to urinate. And you know, you must know, if it's beyond the point of being a place for urinating, it must be a pretty bad place. In Russia, you know, along with a few little witticisms, the Russians also have some of the world's classic toilets along the road when you're traveling. Yes, public toilet. You know, in India, at least they're honest, there's just the field, and they don't even try to bluff you that this is a toilet. But some of those toilets are so bad, you know, you can't really use them unless you have a gas mask. And even the flies don't go in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Seen it. We've been there. Wow. It's amazing. So, you know, if a place is just so bad, people will not even urinate there. It's really bad. It's really just too bad. So the likelihood of receiving any blessings or making some prayers to someone and getting what you're asking for in the Kali Yuga, there's no chance, really. If it appears that you got what you were praying for, then it's not really that you got what you were praying for, but what happened was, it was your karma at that time to receive that. You may think, ah, I prayed for it and I got it. But actually, it was your karma, therefore you got it. And surely, many other times you pray you don't get. And that is how the normal state of affairs in Kali Yuga. And even, of course, the demigods. In so many cases, the demigods, being devotees, they don't really want to give people material things anyway, because they're devotees. And they know completely that if materialistic people who are staunchly materialistic, get more material things, they'll just become further degraded and just become more deeply entangled in material existence. So the demigods don't like to give those things, but they only do because it's their duty to Krishna. And they know, well, I must do it. Otherwise, it would not be their choice to give people all sorts of petty material things, which in due course, in many cases, will degrade those people further. A good example is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, he who satisfies material desires quickly. And it's even mentioned in, Prabhupada mentions, and in different places it's mentioned in our books, that so many people don't want to worship Krishna or Vishnu because they know that Krishna, Vishnu, and even Prabhupada made the point in the purport, basically, they don't just give people what they want. But Shiva does, and quickly. Therefore he's called Ashutosh. So the thing is, though, if we understand Lord Shiva a little, we see pictures of Lord Shiva. He's sitting there under a banyan tree, and he has just got usually some animal skin or maybe some cloth around his waist. And he's sitting there with his beads, his chanting beads, and he's chanting. You see many pictures of Lord Shiva like that. Even in many pictures, you know, he has his eyes closed, he's deeply absorbed in his chanting and meditation. And he is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then someone comes along and knocks on his door. Dear Lord Shiva, I am from Cape Town, maybe from Rhode Island, and I want, just hang on a second, let me get my shopping list out, and there's a whole range of things, this and that, and a new car, and a big TV, and new house, and all these things. And Lord Shiva, because it's his duty, he has to sit there and listen. He has to stop his chanting. And so anyway, the person says what he wants. And Lord Shiva, he just wants to get rid of him. You want a car? Take two. You want a house? Take a palace. You want a TV? How big? 80 centimeter? And take a 2 meter one and just go. Just get out. He doesn't want to sit in negotiation. Okay, you want a car? What's up? BMW. Well, look, I heard Toyota are quite good. And they're cheaper. Okay. Why don't you take one of them? Well, no, you know, some whole process. They say, you know, I want a BMW, take a Rolls Royce, take two, and go, so he can get back to his meditation. Not that he's thinking, oh, how nice, now I can give this person some nice things, and make him happy, and oh, I'm doing him a favor. No, he doesn't like doing it. He only does it because it's his duty to the Lord. And he does it very quickly, just so he can get back to his chanting and get rid of the person. So this is Lord Shiva. This is why he's Ashutosh. But even then, even these people give, the demigods and whoever else, can actually give some material benedictions. Even just some rich person who's charitably minded. Even they give as much as they've got to give. Even a rich person, even if he gives everything he's got, all his houses, all his cars, all his businesses, all his cash, just whatever he's got, even if he gives it all, but it's nowhere near the value of what the Supreme Personality of Godhead can give. Because the Lord can give and does give. Either he gives you things which will help you to progress, as long as you see them in that light, see them correctly and use them correctly. Either he'll give you things which can help you progress on the path back to Godhead, or he'll just take you back to Godhead. Yes. And back to Godhead, eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge, in the direct company of the Supreme Lord face to face, you cannot place a value on it. You cannot say, well, you know, give $1 billion, $1 trillion, give the whole planet with whatever it has. Can't. That won't. You can't buy access to Goloka Vrindavan at all. Not at all. With those types of things. So, Krishna's very intelligent. And he's always trying to think. He's always thinking, how can I help the devotee? How can I help Brihat Mridanga Das? Oh yeah? He's thinking. And trying to find ways to help his devotees to progress in Krishna consciousness. Yes. And therefore devotees find, even sometimes without praying, some things come into their lives. If they are Krishna conscious enough, when these things just come, then they'll understand that, I can use this in Krishna's service in this way, and I can use that in Krishna's service in some other way. And it's all very positive in Krishna consciousness. So yes, Krishna's always helping the devotees. And if the devotee is Krishna conscious enough, then when Krishna intervenes, the devotee will see how it's actually for my benefit in devotional service. So we find in the third canto, chapter 2, verse 23, famous verse spoken by Uddhava, just very shortly, more or less immediately after Krishna left this world, Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam chikamsaya payayad apyasadmi. Oh, alas, alas, now that Krishna has left this world, how will I find someone who can be merciful to me like he was? Who can be a replacement for Krishna in terms of giving me mercy? And he says, Krishna was so merciful that he gave the position of nurse in Goloka Vrindavan to Putana, who was a she-demon and who came to kill him with poison smeared on her breast. But he was so kind. So, that sort of mercy, first of all, is quite inconceivable from the material perspective that someone would get that sort of mercy like what Putana got. It's just inconceivable. But it's true. And similarly, with Ajamil, another, not as bad as Putana, but he was bad enough. Very degraded, fallen person. And he had no good qualities, qualifications, basically at all. But he somehow named his child Narayan, and when his time of death came and he became bewildered in that drastic situation, all he could think of was to call for his son Narayan, and the Vishnu Dutas came and saved him from going to hell. And shortly afterwards he went back to Godhead. So there, at that point, at the end of that discussion, at the end of the second chapter of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami makes the point that if Ajamiya, despite all his terrible shortcomings, if he went back to Godhead based on some, not proper at all chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then how can there be any doubt that someone who chants the holy names sincerely from the heart, how can there be any doubt that such a person will go back to Godhead? Of course he'll go back to Godhead. It just goes without saying. So the mercy which is there from the Supreme Lord just far eclipses even the sum total of mercy available from any and all persons on the material level, including even the actual demigods themselves. So it's very wonderful. It's really very wonderful. And we should note this point and take it into our hearts. Really take it into our hearts that if we just surrender to Krishna and we don't bother with praying for material things or trying for material things, but we really just try to please Krishna, then we will get the greatest, greatest gift. And even in the meantime, Krishna will look after us very nicely, extremely nicely. Sometimes we make the point, I make the point, that I retired in 1972. Seriously. It's more than 40 years ago. I officially gave up work and vowed I would never work again. And I have upheld that vow. Just engaged in Krishna service. But people would think if you do something like that, unless you've got vast resources already, people would think you're going to starve to death and just, it'll be hopeless, impossible. But just look, despite not working for more than 40 years, I have not starved to death yet, as you can see. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, the problem is not so much shortage of food. The problem is too much food. Oh yes, that's the problem. Too much food. And then, put on weight and the body just won't work properly. So just see. And what to speak of that, but Sudama the Brahmin, probably you know that story. He was Krishna's childhood friend. But then they left school and they didn't see each other again for many years. But Sudama, he was a very poor Brahmin. And he had, after he left school, he married and he had some children. But he had nothing, practically nothing. And one day his wife said to him, "Why don't you go and see your old school friend Krishna? He's now a prince in Dwarka. He's very rich. Maybe at least he can give you some money so we can buy food for the children. Just only for that." So it's a long story, but Sudama went and met Krishna. He arrived in the afternoon and they stayed up the whole night just catching up. You know, what you've been doing and what have you been doing and where's this one now? And, you know, catching up with someone you haven't seen for a long time. And right through the night and in the morning, Sudama left and he's walking home and suddenly realized, hey, I forgot to ask for money for feeding the children. Oh no. And initially he felt some regret. But then he thought, actually, I'm glad I didn't ask for anything. Because if Krishna gave me something, I'd just become materially attached. So it's better just to be poor. Then he arrived home and he saw his little hut had been transformed into a palace. Oh yeah. And he thought, wow, this can't be my place. I took a wrong turning. But then his wife came out beautifully dressed and surrounded by maid servants. And Sudama understood, even though I didn't ask Krishna, I forgot, but still he gave. And I was only going to ask for some money to feed our children. That's all. But look what he did. So just see, Krishna. Krishna's amazing, actually. Very amazing. But whatever he does, it's for the benefit of the devotee, and we should try to relate with these things in these ways. And if when you go home today or whenever you go home, don't be disappointed if your house has not become a palace. It's okay. Because we're not on the level of Sudama. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.
So it is Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki.